Hi everybody, Ross here from the Hammersmith Hardmen, and welcome to another episode of the Hammersmith Hardmen Presents My Bottom, a podcast that explores all things BBC sitcom bottom related, including what bottom means to me, what it means to other people, and that includes, on the odd occasion, a famous face who's been on the show, a famous fan, and other people who share a deep obsession of the Rick Mail and Ade Edmondson masterpiece that is Bottom. Today's episode is imaginatively titled My First Bottom, and it's a solo episode, so you've only got me to listen to today, and it's just really me kind of wittering on and recalling my first memories of the sitcom, of Bottom, how I first came across it, so to speak, and the initial episodes and things that really captured my imagination and started me on this road to kind of 30, 35 years later, being here with an Instagram account and a podcast dedicated to the show. And I suppose to set the scene, I'd have to take you back to around about, I think I've been trying to pin the timelines together, and it's quite difficult to just kind of map it out because it's been a long time. I'm 40 now, and sort of thinking back to where it started is becoming more and more difficult. But I think we have to go back to around 1994 when I was about 10 years old. I used to think I was around 8 or 9 when I first came across Bottom, but I, having sort of looked at the timelines and looked back at where things were, I think I was around 10, so it was about 1994. And really, comedy-wise, before I found Bottom, which was a complete accident, as we will find out, the one show I remember absolutely loving and adoring was Red Dwarf. I'm sure many, many followers of the Hammersmith Hardmen and people that are listening to this podcast will also share a love of Red Dwarf. I have to say, I don't really watch it now. To my mind, it hasn't aged that well, and I wasn't a fan of the newer episodes. I did watch most of them, but I wasn't a fan of them. But at the time, I absolutely adored Red Dwarf. It kind of opened my eyes to I guess just the concept of sitcoms. I didn't really know much about sci-fi, but I knew what I found funny, and I found things like the word smeghead very, very funny. And I particularly remember the episode Polymorph, where they are trying to seek out this being that can change into, take people's kind of souls and turn it into them, basically. And it takes out, no, sorry, take that wrong, doesn't turn into them, it takes out one of their inhibitions or manners or something like that. I can't quite remember, it was a long time ago since I watched it. But this kind of humor and sitcom style with a bit of sci-fi with some seemingly naughty words was something that as a 9-10 year old at that time really captured my imagination. And also at this point, being the age that I was, I had no real concept of television shows having a series or numbers of episodes or like a timeline. It started at this point, there was 6 series and there was 6 episodes per series. None of that meant anything to me. All I knew that was on a Friday night, I'd get home from having swimming lessons on a Friday night, I'd have my tea, which was usually cheese on toast. I don't know why I can recall that or why you need to know it, but there it is. And when it came to 9 o'clock, I was allowed to sit in front of the television in the living room, pop my blank VCR in, video, VHS in the VCR player, and wait for 9 o'clock to come around where I'd hit record. And I would record whatever episode of Red Dwarf was showing. This became something that would happen on most Friday nights, except for when the snooker was on. The snooker, for some reason, would completely wipe everything from the normal television viewing. Now, I don't feel like watching Red Dwarf tonight. The snooker's on. But that would be my routine. And so I'm happily kind of watching Red Dwarf on a Friday night at 9 p.m, recording it, and then watching those episodes back. And something that always sticks in my mind, and I think I talked about this with Lucy from Rick Mail's scrapbook on the last pod episode, one of the things that really sticks out from Friday night BBC Two comedy was the little kind of BBC Two trailers that would start just before the episode. And I always remember the one, it would always be the number two doing something, the actual figure of a number two doing something. And the one that always sticks out in my mind is where it kind of crawls along the ground and then stops and does a little backflip. The amount of times I've got that recorded on my various VHSs where I've recorded stuff off the TV, and whenever I see that, it pops up from time to time on kind of these retro nostalgic Instagram accounts, and also on some of the videos on Rick Miles Scrapbook website, YouTube. Whenever I see that, it really does throw me back to being in the mid-90s recording stuff off the TV. So I'm digressing a bit here. So yeah, I'm watching Red Dwarf on a Friday night religiously. And again, like I said, I've got no concept of there being series or numbers of episodes. I just think whatever's on TV is always on at that time. I didn't go looking through TV guides and things like that at this point. And then one day, one evening, I'm sitting waiting for Red Dwarf to start, ready to hit record. And they say, and tonight, 9 p.m, here is Bottom. And I sit there thinking, what on earth is Bottom? And I remember the opening credits starting. And I was all ready to turn it off. As soon as they said Bottom, I was like, okay, Red Dwarf's not on. Great. It's finished. I'm never going to see that again. I'm not interested in this. But as soon as the opening credits start and the opening theme tune starts, that tune just kind of hooked me in. It got my attention. And I sat and watched the whole episode. And this is going to sound ridiculous. For my first episode of Bottom, I don't actually remember what episode it was. I remember the opening theme tunes. I think it may have been Culture, because I remember being drawn in by some physical violence, some cartoonish physical violence that we discussed on the last episode with Lucy from Rick Miles Scrapbook. I remember there being a lot of violence going on that really hooked me in, and a lot of wordplay, a lot of really good wordplay, and me just kind of being taken in by various words and various acts of violence that I thought, I quite like this. I like this. I'm going to sit and watch this. And then I thought no more of it. Until I didn't seek out any more information about it. I just left it. That was an interesting thing. I'll probably watch it again next Friday. But that next Friday, I went swimming. I used to go have swimming lessons with my cousin. And I remember saying to him, oh, James, I watched this brilliant thing last night, last Friday when I was waiting for Red Dwarf, called Bottom. And my cousin is about 5 years older than me. And he just turned to me and said, are you joking? You've never heard of Bottom? And my reaction was, well, I have now, but he was already a massive fan of Bottom, and it turns out that he had everything to date on VHS. So that would be series 1, series 2, series 3 hadn't started yet. So what I think, I was watching a rerun of series 2 at this point, because series 2 would have been on already, and series 3 started in around 1995. So I think we were getting a rerun of series 2 on a Friday night in around 1994. And it turns out James had VHSs of series 1, 2, and I think of the first 2 live shows. And we used to drop him off back home before we went back to mine for the evening. And he said, when you drop me off, I'm going to grab you a VHS for you to watch so you can watch some more Bottom. And he lent me the VHS, the very first VHS of, no, tell a lie, it was the second VHS of the two. So it was the second half of series 1. So the 3 episodes on that VHS were Apocalypse, Bottoms Up, and Accident. So those were the 3 episodes. So these were going to be my, other than that first episode that I watched accidentally the previous Friday, this was going to be my first proper introduction to Bottom, and I was very, very excited about this. So I didn't watch it on the Friday when I got home from swimming. The next day, it was a Saturday, I had to go football training in the morning, and then in the evening I had to do some scout, cub or scout activity. Then on the Sunday I then had to play a football match, followed by probably homework and things like that. So I had a weekend to try and fit these 3 episodes of Bottom in. And again, I was allowed to have some TV VHS time. We had 2 TVs actually. We had 1 TV with the VHS attached to it. So I had to have some time with this TV to be able to watch the VHS. And I remember, you know, sitting and watching this from start to finish, I think over those 2 days, starting on the Saturday with Apocalypse, which I just think is a really good entry level episode to Bottom if you've never seen it before, because I think it gives you a really good idea of the 2 characters and kind of Richie and Eddie's own characters, but also the dynamics of their relationship. I think it's interesting to see that back and forth. You obviously get that in most of the episodes, but I felt this is a really good kind of intro into the 2. And some of the things that just really stick out in my mind about the episode Apocalypse is when Richie's on the phone trying to get hold of Auntie Olga, and he's trying to do the reverse charges calls and things like that, while Eddie's scattering the bills about the place to make sure that when she comes, she can see how poor they are. And then he picks up the bill for Barbarella's fitness studio To which Richie replies, "Nothing to do with me." And then out of nowhere, Eddie just says, "Leotard." And I don't think I've ever laughed so hard at just a random word like that, because I just wasn't expecting him to say leotard. There's nothing particularly funny about the word leotard generally, but just the way he out of nowhere says it at the time just completely cracked me up. And now I always think about hearing it whenever I watch the episode. I always think about hearing it for the first time, and it takes me back to those first 5-10 minutes of the episode Apocalypse. So that's my first real memory of an episode of Bottom is Eddie's exclamation of the word leotard. And then obviously as we go through the episode, there's some real sort of classic moments and some classic people as well. One of the really good things about this episode is some of the cameos and the guests they have on the show. So you know, the first person we meet in the fair, the fun fair, is the shooting gallery stall holder Mark Arden, who of course was with Rick and Aid in The Young Ones. So there's already Bottom's a couple of episodes in, nearly three episodes in, and you're already starting to see where it's overlapping with other comedies, other alternative comedies. You know, that scene that Helen and I discussed in the first episode of this podcast, you're starting to see those people already creep in, and it continues throughout the episode and in later episodes, as we'll discuss today and in other podcasts. So Mark Arden first appears, and of course he gets shot in the eye by Eddie, where he says, "Excuse me, mate," and he turns around and shoots him in the eye. And of course they then go to hide in the tent, and who's there but Liz Smith, who plays the fortune teller wonderfully, wonderfully well. And as a 10-year-old, I recognise Liz Smith from numerous other things. I feel like the royal family would have been on at some point by this time, and I would recognise her from there, and probably many, many other things as well. Obviously, Liz Smith was a stalwart of British television and was in so many things, so she would have been a very familiar face to me. And like I say, the way she plays the fortune teller is spectacular. And again, some of the lines like "Tell me more, old bag," and "I think the old crone's got something," really kind of stands out. And so we move on through the episode, and then we get to the hospital A&E area, and of course that's where we're introduced to Helen Lederer playing a Bottom character for the first time as the A&E nurse, who has this wonderful, wonderful exchange with Richie while he's trying to make out that he's got an appointment but he hasn't. And Helen plays that wonderfully well. I feel like her other appearance as Lady Natasha tends to be the one that most people remember her for. And I think, you know, she's wonderful, wonderful in that episode. But I think the role she plays as nurse in Apocalypse, she does brilliantly, brilliantly well. And also something I didn't want to mention to Helen on the podcast, and I don't know if she's listening to this, but if she is, apologies if this is a bit embarrassing, Helen, but I'm pretty sure that Helen playing the nurse in that episode was my first crush as a 10-year-old. So there's always that as well. And also Helen obviously is another person who has come in from working with Rick and Aid previously on different shows, and we're seeing her appear in Bottom as well. So we continue to move through the episode, and then we're in the kitchen with the kitchen lounge, the drawing room and the kitchen, with Richie hiding below the sofa trying to keep himself safe for 3 days and 3 nights. And I think the real standout here is Eddie steals. I think Eddie steals the show in this particular scene. He does his ridiculous James Bond / Michael Caine impression, thinking that he's Sean Connery. So he's worried people might think he's Sean Connery, so he does an impression as James Bond, but in the accent of Michael Caine, which by the way is a really good Michael Caine impression. I think that's underappreciated. Aids Michael Caine impression whilst being Eddie is very, very good. So that is obviously a highlight. And I think again, as a 10-year-old who's not getting all the jokes in Bottom, you know, he's enjoying the slapstick, he's enjoying some of the naughty words, but not getting every single joke, and certainly isn't understanding that Michael Caine isn't Sean Connery or anything like that. When he goes over to the window to see what time of day it might be, and then he says, "Oh, let me turn on the TV and have a look," and the Neighbours theme tune comes on. Again, that's a joke as a 10-year-old you do get, because you realise that Neighbours is on twice a day, and it could really be any time of day at all. So again, there's plenty to enjoy as a very young person watching Bottom, which, as we discussed with Lucy, was, you know, the real appeal of this. You know, lots of the jokes would go over your head, but there was certainly plenty that would stick. And as we go through the episode, of course, Eddie coming crashing through the ceiling on his piano is, again, as the 10-year-old me and the 40-year-old me now still find that absolutely hilarious. And then Richie battering him out of the door with his poker, and always stands out for me is Richie's "my poker," and at the end of that scene always stands out as a really fantastic part. And then I guess we move through to the bedroom, and Richie tucking himself up with his hottie body, which I found very funny. And then the other bit of that little scene that gets the biggest laugh is where he says, "Do you know, I think I might, no, I'll just go to bed, just go to sleep." Now, again, I don't think I got that as a 10-year-old, but I could see that the audience got it and found it very, very funny. But it was always on that delayed laughter, I always found. Jokes like that, when it was like an innuendo or something like that, there'd be a slight laugh, and then the joke would hit, and then the audience would laugh fully, which I always really enjoyed. So I knew something was very, very funny in that, but I didn't quite get what was going on there. Obviously, now I get it, I appreciate it, and I say it a lot, not in real life, but as a quote. Maybe sometimes in real life too. And I've just realised, thinking as I've been thinking about this podcast and thinking about the episodes, I don't think I've ever done a clip of the scene from when Eddie appears as Death. I don't think I've ever posted that before, which is mad when you think about it. You know, there's not actually a huge amount of Bottom content to post when you think about it. You know, 3 series, 5 live shows. It's not like there's a massive pool of things to post, and to have completely not posted about a specific scene is quite incredible, really. But obviously I do like it, and I just don't think I've ever found a reason to post it. But yeah, so we move through to the end of that episode. Obviously Eddie falls down the stairs, Mark Arden kicks him in the balls, takes his copy of Girly World and £300 to get his eye fixed. And that's the end of the episode that really introduced me to Bottom. And at this point, I'm all in with Bottom at this point. I've loved that episode. I've loved everything about it. And yeah, I can't wait to watch the other 2 episodes that are on that VHS. And of course, the next episode is Bottoms Up. Bottoms Up is one that I post a lot of, usually on a Sunday. Obviously, the whole premise of Bottoms Up is that it's on a Sunday. It's set on a Sunday. And so I always generally reserve my Bottoms Up posting for a Sunday. And I think if I was to put a post out that says, you know, tell me your favourite quotes from Bottoms Up, there will be dozens, because there's so many quotable things in there. From right at the start of the episode, where we've got da 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 Sunday fish finger, or the furry honey pot adventure, or big jugs, or Swedish lesbians in blackcurrant jam. Through to Richie doing his, I think, iconic, legendary walk around the shop that starts with tuna, good, through to telling God there's plenty of gravy mix, through to little Johnny Cartwright in the flats, Mayor Dooley, 20 to 10 in the pen. In fact, I did do a poll, actually. I did do a poll of people's favourite quote from just that one scene. And unfortunately, I think polls on Instagram only let you do 4 options. I could have done about 10 options from that scene, because there's so many brilliant parts to that scene. To when the old lady comes in saying, "What's the matter? Are you mad?" And I just looking to see if I can find the person that plays that old lady. So Evie Garrett plays the old lady, and again, she's someone that probably not quite as high profile as Liz Smith. She might not have minded me saying. But often you would recognise her from appearing in a lot of things as an old lady. And then when he's, you know, asking her if she wants some, if she's going to get it up her bracket, to chasing her out of the shop door, calling her an argy, the entire scene that is the sort of scene that Rick, I think, absolutely thrived on. You know, I don't know how much of that scene was scripted. Much of it probably was, but I'd like to think that he really kind of ad-libbed some of that and really added Rick Mayall to that scene, is something I would imagine he did. And of course, this is another of the episodes where we get some fantastic cameos. I've mentioned, you know, Evie Garrett playing the old lady. But of course, if we just row back to the start of that episode, we see Mr. Harrison for the first time. I think we see Mr. Harrison two or three times throughout the three series. And this is the first time we see Mr. Harrison, the landlord, brilliantly played by the wonderful Roger Sloman, who is a fantastic actor, another fantastic British actor who, if you don't necessarily know what he's been in, you will recognise him from being in a lot of British things. You know, he's been in everything. And I think that he's another one that was in The Young Ones in a couple of episodes, I think. The one that stands out most memorably for me is when he plays the TV license inspector in the episode there, which I think he plays that tremendously well. And one of the things that really stands out from that episode, if I can just divert The Young Ones, is where he basically falls through the ceiling, much like Eddie did in the episode Apocalypse. He goes upstairs to search the TV while Vivian's has eaten the TV, and then he comes falling through the ceiling and then walks out pointing his finger at all of them. And I think it's a brilliant little performance from Roger Sloman in The Young Ones. But yes, so we see Mr. Harrison for the first time, and we also see Michael Redfern, who was also in an episode of The Young Ones as the police officer in the episode where they have the party. So that Mr. Michael Redfern, who sadly died a couple of years ago, plays Mr. Cooper, Mr. 55P. So again, we're seeing more of those people that were in The Young Ones and in other comedies, other alternative comedies as well, but with Rick and Aid and others, yeah, are starting to appear in Bottom, and again, they're familiar faces. And as someone who's a bit younger and isn't necessarily familiar with everything that's going on comedy wise, jokes wise, the more things you see that are familiar, you know, the easier it is to access. Again, Bottoms Up is one of those that is a really accessible episode. And one of the things I've always found interesting about Bottoms Up is obviously it's set on a Sunday. And I feel like as the episode progresses, it kind of encapsulates the Sunday. And I appreciate by saying it encapsulates a Sunday. I'm sounding a bit like Alan Partridge here, so apologies for that. It's not my intention. But as the episode goes on, everything just starts to get a bit bleak, a bit darker. The weather starts to get a bit darker, to the point where at the end of the episode it started to rain. They're stuck on top of the shop, and they've got no way of getting down. To me, it just kind of feels like how a Sunday progresses. It starts off great, everyone's happy. It's very, very funny. There's lots of funny things, fun things happening. But as we get to the end of it, it's quite dark, quite dull, and that kind of fear for Monday is starting to set in. And I kind of that seems to be reflected in the episode Bottoms Up. I don't think it was intentional. It's just an observation of mine. So that's the second episode of the VHS that I borrowed off of my cousin. And then obviously the third episode, which would have been the final episode of the first series of Bottom. And this series really goes out on a high. Just to say, I'll probably do more of a in-depth series episode review as we go along with this podcast. But just in this instance, I think Bottom Accident is the perfect way to kind of finish series one of Bottom. It's one of the best episodes. Whenever I do the Bottom watch party watch along things, I always invite people to nominate an episode to watch, and this always gets loads and loads and loads of nominations and always goes to the poll that I do with the top four, as we've established, the top four episodes. It's never quite made it. I don't think it's ever quite made it to be the one that we watch. So at some point we end up with watching it, but it is always a very highly nominated episode, Accident. And of course it's the one which is associated with birthdays. So whenever a follower mentions to me that it's their birthday, I'll always send them a quote from the opening scene of Richie going through his cards, whether it's all the lads on the Ark Royal, Terry Hardacre, Sue Carpenter, all those different cards. And of course the scene, and I've been chatting with this with someone recently, where Richie is asking for his present, and he goes, ha, 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 happy birthday to me, and then Eddie gives him the comb, and it's my comb that I lost last week. And then Richie just turns, and into a flush of extreme anger, just says, look, this isn't kind of some kind of joke, you know. This is my birthday. And obviously I'm doing the actions as I'm saying this, and it's probably you can't see that, but maybe I'll show the video if it comes out all right of me recording this. But it is just, again, it is one of those standout iconic bits of Bottom, of Richie just articulating in such an angry way that it's his birthday and how important it is. It really is. It's an iconic moment. And as it moves through to obviously the red hot tip exchange, which is hands down one of my most favourite episodes, scenes in Bottom. You know, when from the moment Richie reads the bit of paper that says Madam Swish, 3:30, and we get the and then Eddie's telling him that, you know, she'll come first, all right, and he'll either come first, second, or third. You know, he's got to get down to Kempton. Everyone will be watching, and all the while, Richie's getting more and more confused and scared because the misunderstanding is just becoming more and more absurd, to the point where Richie realizes that it's a horse. Madam Swish is a horse, and it all comes out. It's become clear that Madam Swish is a horse. We all knew that, but Richie didn't. And it culminates in probably one of the iconic lines of, I have given you a red hot tip. To which Richie responds, I know, and there's nothing I can do about it now, is there? Which to me, again, that is a joke that I did get. I did get that joke as a 10-year-old. That one landed. And so that was probably the start of me starting to get those innuendos and those double entendres. One of the standout parts to Bottom Accident is, of course, the introduction of the legendary Spud Gunn and Dave Hedgehog, brilliantly played by Stephen O'Donnell, who plays Spud Gunn, and of course Christopher Ryan, who plays Dave Hedgehog. Again, Christopher Ryan, another of those actors who has been in many, many things that you'll recognise him from. One of the things, other than the young ones that Christopher Ryan wonderfully played Mike in, iconically played Mike in, one of my memories, other than Bottom and the Young Ones, of watching Christopher Ryan in something is in an episode of Mr. Bean, where he has to do, I think it's like jiu-jitsu or something, and he ends up taking, Mr. Bean ends up taking Chris Ryan's trousers, and obviously they're way too short, because I'm sure Chris won't mind me saying that he's a short fellow, and Rowan Atkinson is quite a tall fellow, so if they get their trousers mixed up, it's going to be very, very obvious. And Mr. Bean follows him to the toilets, to the point where the scene ends with Mr. Bean actually pulling Christopher Ryan's character back into the toilet cubicle. And I think the absolute terror that Christopher Ryan manages to portray in that scene is absolutely fantastic. I think it's one of the finest bits of acting I've seen. The terror that he gets across whilst being pulled under the cubicle, unknowingly, but that it's Mr. Bean just trying to get his trousers back. But the terror that he portrays is wonderful. So yes, the episode Accident is where we are introduced to Spud Gunn and Dave Hedgehog for the first time. And it's a really good introduction to the two, to the point where Richie says, so why are you called Spud Gunn? And Spud Gunn says, give me a potato and I'll show you, which is funny. And then he then turns to Dave Hedgehog and says, so why do they call you Hedgehog? And you know what's coming. Everyone knows what's coming here. But Dave Hedgehog just says, give me a hedgehog and I'll show you. And it's the most predictable of lines, but it's just so funny. Because you know it's coming, but you know he's going to say it, but it's just incredibly funny. And I've always wondered, you know, what they were going to do with the potato and the hedgehog to mean them they're getting called Spud Gunn and Dave Hedgehog. I guess we'll never know. They never did show us, which I guess I'm not actually too fussed about. And of course, it also is an introduction. So it was something which you get in every series when Spud Gunn's in an episode. You get an inane story about something from Spud Gunn. So in this episode, you get the story about the give way sign. In the Christmas episode, you get the story about his wife going on holiday that just goes nowhere. It's a pointless story. It was fun, you're in the pub. And then in the episode Doe, when they come around, you get the story from Spud Gunn about the baked beans. If there was just one bean in there, and that's it, nothing else. Just the you always get a pointless story from Spud Gunn, which I'm assuming was planned, and it is a thing. And it's just a really nice little bit of continuity to always have that in every series has a really inane pointless story from Spud Gunn. And I've just realised I've completely glossed over one of the iconic moments of Bottom Accident, of course, is the I'm sorry, I'm a twat 10 times. And again, one of those things you kind of know it's coming, where Richie tells Eddie to write down I'm sorry, I'm a twat 10 times. But as he says it, and the look that Eddie gives just as he says, "I'm sorry, I'm a twat." And then he looks up and just gives this smug, like the smuggest face you could possibly imagine, and then writes 10 times and goes and gives it to Richie, who, again, the acting from Rick at this point, of Richie just shaking in anger by the TV, waiting for to be given the lines from Eddie, is just superb. To which he says, "You know, you're forgiven and you may come to my birthday party." So I forgot to mention that as we were sort of going through the episode quickly there. Again, an absolute iconic scene. One of my other standout, one of my real standout bits of that part where you've just met Spudgun and Dave Hedgehog, is where Richie goes to drink the sherry. So obviously further back in the episode, Spudgun's had to go to the toilet, and he's done it in the glass, and he puts it down just as he's allowed to come back over to the middle of the room. And then they have the conversation about this giveaway sign, etc. And then Richie goes, "Oh, where's that sherry?" And he just reaches out for the first glass that he can find, which is the glass that Spudgun's put down, and he takes a sip of it. And again, it's just tremendous, tremendous acting from Rick, and the physical acting I'm talking about here, which is something that, again, I'll probably discuss at greater length in a future episode of this podcast. But really, the physical acting from Rick in moments like this is what make the scene. You know, there has been and always never will be very few people that can steal moments like Rick could from a physical acting perspective. The way he starts drinking the sherry, and he starts guzzling it down, and then he slows down, and then he just puts this kind of slightly confused look on his face. His eyes widen as if to say, "What's this?" And then he has this confused look, and then he kind of nervously looks up at the other three or four times, licks his lip, and then says this kind of, again, the iconic words, "It's a bit warm, isn't it?" And then puts it down. And then if that's not funny enough, a few moments later, he goes to ask Spudgun or Dave Hedgehog a question and just picks something out of his teeth and wipes it on his trousers or on the table. And again, I don't know if that was scripted. I feel like it's something that Rick would have just added in, which would have probably made everyone else involved crack up laughing. But again, it's just so, so funny. And again, it's a moment that, again, you can't really quote it, but you can replay it. And whenever I post that scene on the page, it gets a lot of really good appreciation and likes and comments and things like that. And of course, it's not just Stephen O'Donnell and Christopher Ryan who play cameos in this particular episode. There are many, actually. This is probably the busiest of episodes when it comes to other people in the show, because obviously we have the party at the end, which are basically all Eddie's mates. But they kind of make up their Richie's mates. But amongst them are Mark Williams, who, of course, again, is a very, very famous actor in his own right, has done many, many things in Harry Potter, The Fast Show. And I think The Fast Show, for me, came a little bit later. But I certainly, when I first started watching The Fast Show, one of the first things I noticed was that, oh, that's the guy that was in that one episode of Bottom, but he had a really big beard. So, yeah, we see Mark Williams as a bit of a cameo in that episode. So those were the three first episodes that I watched of Bottom on that VHS that my cousin gave me. So yeah, that's really it, Bottom, my first Bottom in a nutshell. It wasn't as straightforward as just watching an episode and regaling you of my thoughts of that episode, because I can't actually remember the first episode that I watched, which is mad when you think about it. But it was that first, the VHS of the second half of series one that was my first memory of Bottom. So yeah, I think that's probably enough from me wittering on today. I'll try and make these solo podcasts a little bit shorter, because I know you probably don't want to be listening to me for too long. But I will do another solo one soon, and we'll look at some of my other memories of Bottom, whether it's some of the live shows. I have very strong memories of the live shows, particularly the second live show, which is one of my favorite bits of comedy ever. And it's something which, bearing in mind it's a couple of hours long, I think I can recite the entire thing from start to finish. I've watched it that many times. I couldn't retell how many times I've watched the second live show, but it's got to be thousands. So I'd probably like to do a bit of a chat about that. And I'd also, there's other, lots of other things I would like to just talk about myself when it comes to bottom. But for now, I'll say goodbye. Thank you for joining me for this third episode of The Hammersmith Hardman Presents My Bottom and my first bottom. I hope you've enjoyed it. Leave some feedback, subscribe, do all those things that you do with podcasts. And really, this is just a good opportunity to say a thank you as well, because this was a this idea of getting into podcasts is something that I had never really planned to do. But the way the Instagram page has grown and the followers have just kept on coming, I felt like when there's that many people who love bottom and want to kind of talk about bottom and quote it and share their own experiences of this sitcom, it felt like the right thing to do is to let's create something which talks in more depth about the show and gives people something to listen to, and hopefully kind of stir up some memories, make you think back to when it was your first when your first bottom was. I think once this goes out, I will do some posts that relate to that, and I'll try and get some of your own experiences of watching Bottom for the first time. So yeah, thank you for those who have tuned into the previous two episodes. I hope you get through to the end of this one, and if you have got through to the end of it and you're hearing this, thank you. And hopefully I've got this is the last in the first three. So I've got three initial episodes, and then I've got some more people lined up to record with in the near future. So you should get some more episodes very, very soon. But yeah, in this instance, thanks very much for listening. I'll see you all again soon. Cheers. Bye.